I've always loved books. And this is where the dream began, reading Mother Teresa's own words, these books by Mother Teresa with her own words and teachings. This is where I learned about the poverty and suffering and disease and death in Calcutta. This is where I learned about Mother Teresa's amazing, intense spiritual life. And this is where I learned that Mother Teresa welcomed anyone with hands to serve and a heart to love to join her in her work for the poor, the sick, the suffering, and the dying. When I learned that Mother Teresa of Calcutta welcomed anyone with hands to serve and a heart to love to join her in serving the sick, the suffering, the abandoned, the orphaned, I looked down at my two hands at age 19 or 20 and thought to myself, I have two strong hands. Maybe I can help change the diapers of the babies in the orphanage. And I have my health and my strength. Maybe I can feed some of the dying men and women in the home for the dying. Mother Teresa made it sound so easy. All of us here this evening have hands and a heart. You have what it takes. And I think it's very important to share that there was one more thing that Mother Teresa wanted us to have in order to come and help the missionaries of charity serve the poorest of the poor. You had to come with a smile. You had to come with joy. And Mother Teresa explained, the people we are loving and serving, some of them are mentally ill, physically ill, unwanted and abandoned babies. Some of them have leprosy, totally abandoned, outcast, lonely, and some are in their final agony, dying. Mother Teresa said, if we go to them with a sad face, we will only make them more depressed. And so that was very important. A smile was so important to Mother Teresa. You know, come with a smile. She would say, a smile is the beginning of love. And she wanted us to be the sunshine of God's love to those around us. One of the amazing things about Mother Teresa, let me back this up and just give you an overview of what I did in India. As I was inspired to go offer my hands and my heart to serve the poorest of the poor with Mother Teresa, I celebrated my birthday and I turned 21 years old, and then I traveled across the planet from America to Calcutta, India, and showed up at Mother Teresa's doorstep with this dream to help her. Here are my hands, here's my heart, you know, here's all my joy, you know. Throughout the times that I was in Calcutta, I knew Mother Teresa throughout the course of 11 years, with various intervals of serving in Calcutta, as well as the South Bronx, New York, saw her in Massachusetts as well, but it was mostly South Bronx, New York, and Calcutta, India. So I showed up at her doorstep, literally, at the Mother House in Calcutta, India, ready to serve, ready to share my joy. And I volunteered every morning in the children's orphanage in Calcutta, Shishu Bhavan, the children's home, taking care of abandoned and malnourished children and babies. And every afternoon I volunteered in Mother Teresa's famous home for the dying, taking care of abandoned and malnourished people whom we would literally lift out of the streets of Calcutta with our own hands. I had the beautiful privilege of riding in the ambulance, Mother Teresa's ambulance, through the city streets of Calcutta from Shishu Bhavan Children's Home to the Home for the Dying every day with the sisters, with the missionaries of charity. I'll just share with you briefly just a couple of quick stories in each of those shelters just to kind of give you a glimpse of what the work was like. In all of Mother Teresa's shelters, wherever I volunteered, whether it was in India or whether it was in New York, the work was very simple and humble and basic. And it involved just basic care, whatever the needs were. If there was someone in the home for the dying who was thirsty, we would bring them a glass of water. If there's someone in the home for the dying shivering, we'd bring them a blanket. If someone was suffering or lonely, we would hold his hand all the way. And the children just love them. One of the little boys was about 8 years old. He was one of the older ones in the orphanage. There were a lot of little toddlers, beautiful little tiny children in the children's home. But there was one particular child, about 8 years old, who one of the volunteers, Paul from Sweden, named this little boy the little terrorist. And I understood why. Because this little boy in the orphanage would all of a sudden open up his eyes and let out this shrill, unnerving laugh as if he was afflicted with insanity, and he would attack people. This little boy would attack people, biting, scratching, kicking, and terrorizing his victims. He would just go into these fits or these spells where he would just attack. And so everyone stayed away from him, the volunteers as well as the other children. Mother Teresa, during my first summer in India, gave me beautiful permission to do some artwork for her, to draw a picture of a child in the palm of God's hand and to paint the walls of the children's home with bright murals. And while I was painting the walls of the children's home during my first summer in India, I was sitting on a bench in the children's orphanage and painting, and I looked over, and there was the little terrorist coming right at me. And I could tell from the look in his eyes, he was about to attack me. And this had never happened to me before in my whole life. And I had to think quickly, what am I going to do? This little boy's about to start attacking me. I had to think quickly. I put down my paintbrush, and as the little boy approached me, my only response I could think of that quickly was love, love. And so before he could get me, I got him. I reached out and I hugged him. And I pressed this little boy to my heart. And I'll never forget that experience. My little terrorist was completely disarmed and pacified and awestruck. And he looked up at me with big brown eyes as if to say, no one has ever done that to me before. No one has ever hugged me. He didn't know what a hug was, but he liked it. He liked it. It was astounding. The little terrorist became this gentle-natured little boy. Every day after that, this child would take time out from whatever he was doing, even take time out from playing, to come up to me gently, as if to say, whatever you did yesterday, could you do that again? You know? What was astounding about it is, since he was hurting people, he was crying out with his actions for attention, for love. He just didn't know how to say it. But I discovered what I call the power of the human touch. All of us have it. The power of the human touch to change lives, to reach out with tenderness, with peaceful hands, with loving hands, you know, even to those who hurt us in life or who want to hurt us in life, but to respond with love in every single situation. This precious little boy, that's one of the things I discovered in the children's orphanage. These children have enough food to eat, but they're hungry for love. They were starving for the human touch. They had no mummies and daddies. And as I get older, I realize that's like one of the most important things babies and children need is that human contact, the hugs and kisses from a mummy and daddy. And so these orphans didn't have that. And so that's how I realized we need to be feeding these children that tenderness and that love. Now into the Home for the Dying, every afternoon I volunteered in Mother Teresa's famous Home for the Dying. You'd step into the men's section and then the women's section. So you'd step in off the streets of Calcutta into the men's section and see rows upon rows of stretcher beds of emaciated and dying patients. Mother Teresa prayed and hoped that every single person would die at peace with God and in sight of a loving face. And I think that one of the most difficult parts of my experience in the Home for the Dying was that for some mysterious reason, a lot of the patients died alone in their beds in the middle of the night. And I remember as I served a certain gentleman every day, every afternoon, in the Home for the Dying, it broke my heart when I would go in the next day and his bed was empty, because I knew he was not well enough to walk out the door. And I'd be standing over his empty bed, and Sister Luke in Kaligat, in the Home for the Dying, would say, "Don't worry, Susan, he's on his way to heaven." And I remember it was an unspoken prayer of mine. Dear God, let someone be with them when they're dying. Anyone. Let someone be there saying, don't be afraid. I'm right here with you. Even if that man or woman didn't understand English, at least they would understand love. And they would understand that they weren't alone in their final agony. And it wasn't until the end of my first summer in India that for the first time in my entire life, I saw someone die. And it happened to be in my arms as I held him in the Home for the Dying. He had been suffering, and I could just stay with him during his final hours. And all of a sudden, it was as if he fell asleep in my arms. And I realized, dear God, you've just answered my prayers. He wasn't alone. He wasn't frightened. He was loved. And I didn't know what to do. And all I could think to do was offer his soul to God's arms, lift his soul to heaven. Didn't know what to say. And all I could think to say was the words of Jesus from the cross. And I said, Father, into your hands I commend his spirit. And I started crying, not because it was frightening or awful, but because it was so beautiful. It was an answer to prayer, and it's what Mother Teresa wanted, that each soul be at peace with God and in sight of a human who cared, someone who cared. I was holding his body, praying for his soul, and crying. And who came around the corner and came to help me but a living saint? Mother Teresa helped me. She helped me to close his eyes and fold his hands and take care of him. And I'll never in my life forget what Mother Teresa said to me that afternoon in the Home for the Dying. She looked right into my soul, right into my heart, and she said, you have received many graces for this. You have received many graces for this. To this day, I ponder those words and wonder, what did she mean? You know, because I don't feel that God owes me any grace or blessing for the honor of being there at this sacred moment when a soul is taking home to eternal life. I feel exactly the opposite, that I owe God so much praise and so much thanksgiving for this sweet privilege of being there at this holy moment when a soul is taken home to eternal life. Someone from Massachusetts in America said years ago, "You're never so close to heaven as you are when you're with someone who's dying." Because at that sacred moment, our Lord Jesus, Blessed Mother Mary, the angels and saints come to take that precious soul with them to everlasting life. And if you're in the room, you can't imagine spiritually what beautiful things are happening in that room.